This morning, thanks God, I'll be coming out of Luke 15, chapter 11 through the 24th verse. Although these verses might sound familiar from last Sunday, but yes, hold on, it'll be different. I'm not going to repeat what was preached on last Sunday, but this is what God had given to me, the Holy Spirit brought to me. I told Pastor Lewis last Sunday and everything, I said, man, I was studying the same thing. But the Spirit led me in a different way than what he had. But it's still some of what Pastor Lewis has taught on it. So I just thank God, you know, that it is confirmation to the word. Okay, in Luke 15, 11 through 24, and it said, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that fall to me. And he divided into them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with rivals living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine that in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would faint had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned unto heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Okay, we see, thanks to God, just bring you up to speed of what Pastor Lewis was talking about last Sunday. The prodigal son, he started out being greedy. He was just self-centered. He was just about him. He wanted his portion. He wanted to go out and do wild, live wild. He wanted to get away from up on his father's roof. He wanted to be on his own. You know, sometimes we just look at ourselves. We the same way when we was young. You know, I speak for myself. I was like that when didn't want to do something. When my parents told me to do something, I'm like, man, I'd be glad when I get out of here. You know, I'm ready to go. But, you know, I came to my senses too, in the natural as well as in the spirit. You know, when you got there and got on your own and these bills start coming in, you know, and you're like, man, why did I make that stupid mistake wanting to leave? And I want to go back home now. And so we see that was the young son, he did, you know, he was out there, he did sow the seed, he did what he had to do, living all wild and crazy, and he came to his senses. What's the most important thing? When he came to himself, he went back to the Father. So, thanks to God, today, just to put up to speed, that's basically what Pastor Lewis had taught last Sunday. And everything, but then how the father received him, you know, back into the family. So thanks to God, the story of the prodigal son is an unusual treatment, preachers always use this text to preach to the backslider or to the law. But thanks to God, today I'm going to take a different approach. I'm going to preach to those who are saved by God's grace. As we look into this passage, we see a young man with many problems in his life. Certainly, there was doubt and fear about today and about the future. He faced regret concerning his past, and he found that people would more definitely reap what they sow. Our story gives us a young man who is a member of a family, but he is one who had strayed away. As a result, he found himself in the midst of a great and difficult problem and trouble. He sank about as low as any person could go, and then he reached a place where he experienced a turning point in his life. And verse 17 tells us that he came to himself. As apparently, this young man has seemed the victim of temporary insanity, by the way, which means backsliding. That's what backsliding is. He came to himself and remember how well he had back at home in his father's house. He knew that he could just get back home, that things would be better. Now, I'm not going to spiritualize these things too much on this morning on the things of the young prodigal son, but I sometimes feel like that son. Sometimes, you know, I feel that I miss the glorious presence of God in my life. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes things just go astray. You know, you just feel, well, everything just going out of control. You don't have no control of it until you come to your senses as the Lord, you know, Lord Jesus, help me. And things seem to start coming back together. So thanks to God, today we can take some point from the prodigal son on how he came to his senses. We too sometimes go out there and live radical life or go on the edge, you know, or temptation. But we can't say God tempted, but we goes on the edge of temptation, do little crazy stuff and everything, and then realize, okay, I'm almost over the edge, and then we'll come back and say, Jesus, help us. So we have to realize and we have to learn from the prodigal son, you know, what he did, swallow our pride and come back. And so that the good news, thanks to God, today, one day all of God's children are going home. They are going back to the Father's house. When we get there, we will find that there is a better place there. With that thought in mind, I will preach on to you this morning as a thought. It will be better when we get home. It will be better when we get home. In other words, thanks to God, when we get home, some things will be behind us. Just like the prodigal son, some things will be behind us. In other words, when we get home, there will be something that we would not have to deal with any longer. For instance, there will be no more sin. The prodigal son wandered away into a life of rebellion and sin. How many times have you and I done the same thing? You know, we have went out and did the same thing, but we have to realize who God is and who we belong to. We have every intention of living for the Lord and doing well for his glory, but temptation comes and we give in and we fall into sin. Thank God the day is coming when sin will no longer be a problem for you or for me. We are going to a land where there will be no more sin. In Revelation 21:24-27 says, and it said, and the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the king of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nation into it, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth it, neither whatsoever work abomination or make it a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb book of life. So in other words, saints of God, there won't be no sin. When we make it home, there won't be no sin. When we make it back to the Father house, there won't be no sins. That's something going to be behind us. We won't have to even think about in temptation. We won't even have to think about doing things that are not of God. So thanks to God, when we get home, you know, that will be behind us. There will be no more sins. Even in the fleshly nature that gives us so much grief down here will be forever changed and will no longer desire the basic things of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says 15 and 51. 51 through 54. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall be put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So thanks God, in other words, we're going to change. Things are going to change. This body that we in is going to change. We're going to have a glorified body. So we ain't got to worry about this, how we look or what, you know, how this body feel or the things that we're going to. We're going to have a glorified body. This body is going to be left behind. The soul and spirit are going to be taken up. But this body, this shell, going to be left behind. We're going to have a glorified body. Also, in 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, now are we the Son of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So in other words, saints of God, although we can't see him now, but we can feel his presence now. But when we have that glorified body, we are going to be able to see him. We are going to be able to see him face to face. You know, have you got a phone call or something, and how a person on the other end might sound or give you some exciting news and everything, and they'll say, I can't wait to meet you and stuff. And you, yes, one. How this person, you know, sound, you know, how does he sound on the phone? How do he look? You know, how does she look on the other end of this phone when I meet her? You know, would I recognize her? Would I recognize this person and everything? And then when you get to meet that person, he'd be like, wow, and everything. And that's where we're going to be, thanks to God, when we finally have that glorified body and see Jesus as he really are. We're going to be, wow, we're going to be overwhelmed and everything. So when we make it home to our Father house as the pagan son, as the prodigal son did, we're going to be overwhelmed. We're going to be glorified. So this old body going to be left behind. So in other words, so when we move on, there will also be no separation. When we make it to the Father's house, there will be no separation. The prodigal found himself separated from his father it turned out to be a miserable place to be. You know, sometimes when we find ourselves separated from the will of God, things, like I said, go haywire and everything. It's not the best place to be. So we have to step back into the will of God so things to line up with the will of God for our life. And things, we still have trials and tribulation, but things wouldn't be as bad as we were outside of His will, because if we're in His will, we know that we have the victory, because Jesus said that I have overcome the world. So if he overcame, we have overcome when we is in His will. So that separation would be no longer. It would be left behind. So like as the prodigal son was separated from his father, we can be separated from our Father. But as we come and continue to be in the will of our Father, we will see there will be no more separation. So as we travel through this world, we are blessed in that we have received those glorious promises from the Savior. In Matthew 28 and 20 says, it said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. And Hebrew 13 and 5, which said, and let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So in other words, saints of God, we have those glorious promise. We won't be separated no more, because he is with us. He is forever with us. He will not leave us or nor forsake us. So we have his promise. We won't be separated from him ever again. So all that separation, it will be behind us. However, like it or not, there are still times when we fall into sin and lose our precious fellowship with him. In Isaiah 59 and 2, which says, we're going to travel a little bit in scriptures. But your iniquity has separated between you and your God, and your sin hath hidden its face from you, that he will not hear. But we being in the will of God, our iniquity is paid for. Our sin is paid for. So how can we be separated? Even if we go out there, we still is in the will of God. We'll be in the will of God. You know, because Jesus, he paid it all. He paid the price. So our separation from the Father is already done. That's behind us. We ain't got to worry about being separated no more, because our sin is paid for. Jesus paid the price. He did it all. So thank God, there's a day coming when this will be no more. We will be perfected. We will be home, and we will be in his presence forevermore. Also, there will be no more straying. We won't have to stray away. We won't have to get and do things that uncalled for out of the will of God. There would be no more straying. The prodigal took his leave of the father and headed out to live a selfish, sinful life. Doesn't that describe most of us some of the time? As the song said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So in other words, saints of God, because of the will of the Father and everything, we was, and by his grace and everything, we was lost. But now we are found. We was blind and couldn't see the truth. We couldn't see the truth because the devil had blinded us with scales or deception that we didn't know the truth. But now, since we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, those scales of deception have fallen from our eyes, now we be able to see the truth. We know the truth, and we can live the truth. So all that deception and straying away from the word and everything, you know, that would be behind us. So as the prodigal son, he left, you know, he left all this, and he headed out to do all his living, you know, whatever he wanted to do, and his wishful thinking, you know, because sometimes we know, we think we know better than our parents know. I'm not calling Daniel out, but, you know, sometimes, you know, it be like that, you know. They think they know more than the parents, you know, on that. But you got to realize, you know, and everything, we didn't went through, the parents and went through these situations. They know what's ahead, you know, on that. So we have to take heed and listen, you know, even if we don't want to. We have to just sometimes just swallow that pride and say, okay, well, I'm going to listen, you know, and eventually somewhere down the road, that advice that was given will come to pass. So we as saints of God, we might not see what all the scripture or what all the words are saying and telling us to do right now, but eventually down the road it will come to pass, because God said his word would not come back to him void. So whatever he has spoken, it will come to pass. So we just have to believe and continue to have faith and live according to his word. So we thank God when the change comes, there would be no more strain, there would be no more wandering. We will even abide perfect fellowship with the Father in glory. So when, thanks to God, we will be glorified with the Father in glory. So all this harassment and this hatred and all this stuff, these laws that the people, our congressmen and court is passing stuff, all that stuff be left behind. We won't even have to worry about it. We won't have to worry about the men's going in the women's restroom, and we won't have to worry about the women going in the men's restroom. You know, all that would be behind, you know. So right now, only thing, thanks to God, we can do is just pray that God will intervene, because it's a serious time in our country, thanks to God, of the things that our leaders are doing and forcing upon the people. Also, thanks to God, we see that there will be no more suffering. There will be no more suffering. The prodigal found that a life living outside of the will of God is a life of pain and problems. We too, as I stated previous, that when we outside the will of God, we will find those trials and tribulation that we're going through is more painful than it would be if we was in the will of God. He suffered because of his decision to live apart from the Father's will. I suppose everyone in this room knows that life is a time of pain and suffering. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I have no sad song to sing or no story to tell about the things that I have went through or the things that we are going through, because God has blessed my life extra good. He's been extra good to me. I can't even describe how good God has been to me. I can't speak for nobody else, but I can speak for me how good God has been to me. God has blessed my life, and he has done far beyond what I can even imagine or think. I'm sure everyone in this room, if they really think about it, they can have the same conclusion. We'll say the same thing. God is good. And all the time, God is good. The Lord himself said, the Lord himself said in John 16:33, it said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the trials and tribulation that we are going through, thanks to God, that will be in the past. That will be left behind. We will have peace. We will have joy. In other words, what we are supposed to be having now on earth, the fruit of the Spirit, we would definitely be enjoying it when we get to the Father house. We would definitely enjoy it. That won't be left behind, but that was something that we will be experiencing, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. We will be, you know, we will be enjoying it. Well, long-suffering in a way, not that we got to wait, but long-suffering in praising him. You know, it's not about us, ourselves, but about the Father and everything, and long-suffering and praising him. So down here, we have to long-suffer on because of things in our life that we can, in situations in our life that we cannot control. But when we get to the Father house and everything, everything is already controlled. So only thing with the long-suffering is we just let it out. We just continue to praise and give him honor, give him the glory, thanks to God. So in other words, all this suffering will be left behind. We see also Job, he tells about the trials of life in Job 14:1 and then Job 5:7. While we journey as pilgrims in this world, we can expect to experience our share of trials and tribulations, but bless his good name, when we get home, it will be better. I have read the end of the book, and I have seen where the Lord will take away the burdens of this life and remove suffering from our shoulder. So, saints of God, that is good news. We won't have to carry the burdens of this world, you know, these problems with us no more. All the burdens, everything that you is going through, it will no longer be on your shoulders. You won't even have to think about it. You know, you just walk through life, you know, carefree. You know, how many want to walk through life carefree? Don't have to worry about no bills, don't have to worry about nothing. You know, all God will supply our every need, but we know that every month that phone bill gonna come, that light bill gonna come, that water bill gonna come, some type of bill gonna come, but Lord will bless us to get it paid, and we know that it'll come. But when we get to the Father house, we won't have to worry about none of that, because the Father will take care of all of it. Yes, thank you. He took care of all of that. There won't be no more. We won't have to worry about no more bills. Only thing we have to do is continue just praise him, give him honor, give him the glory. Yes, praise him. Yes, go about praising him. Yes, think about that's the end result. Yes, praise him. When we get to heaven, we get to our Father house and everything, our duty is just to praise him, to go out and just continue to lift them up, praise him and everything. Don't have to worry about this life down here anymore. So in other words, we see that the things will be off our shoulders. Sometimes we walk through life, you know, sometimes when we go through life and everything and we pray and everything, like then God takes the situation off of us. Like we sometimes say, man, I feel 100 pounds lighter. You know, because of the stress that God has relieved us from. So that's, just imagine, there's no stress. We won't have to worry about no stress. We won't have to worry about nothing but the carefree of praising our God. Thank God, it would be better when we get home. Also, we find from the prodigal son, something will be before us. We left the things behind. Now we see, learning from the prodigal son, some things will be before us. we will see the Father. We will see him face to face. When the prodigal son returned home, he was able to see the Father once again. They have been separated, but now they are brought together. According to the Bible, no man has seen God. 1 John 4:12, which says, 1 John 4:12, it says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So, saints of God, right now, we can't see the Father. But when before us, that is something before us, we're going to be able to see him. So, in other words, we will see the Father in his fullness. We won't have to guess, you know, well, what this looks like. We know that he is good, and all good things come from above. We already know that, but we ain't got to guess or imagine how that he looked. We will see that. We will see him. Because we'll be in our glorified body. We have left this body behind, but now we're looking for things before us. So in a word, like the prodigal son, you know, he saw his father again. We're going to see our father again. We're going to see our father again. So we are prevented from seeing him because he is a spirit and we are flesh. He is holy and we are sinful. If we were to see him, it would kill us. Because he is so powerful, his spirit is so powerful. If we see him right now in this body and everything, it would kill us. Even Moses was prevented from seeing the Lord in all his glory in Exodus 33:18-23. When we get home, we will see him as he is. We will look in the face of the one who loves us enough to send his beloved son to die in our place. In Romans 5:8, it said, the one who commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we will see the one who sent Jesus to die in our stead. So we will see that also. Things before us, we will be remade after his fashion. We will be remade after his fashion. When the prodigal son came home, the father ordered him to be clothed with the best robe in the house. Who do you think it belonged to? The father himself, no doubt. When this boy came home, he smelled like a hog pen. He was dirty, filthy. He probably just thrown up, hadn't bathed in days, you know, because of his traveling. You know, he was in sad shape. But when the father robe was placed on him, all the evidence of the outward life was indicated from view. In other words, all that filth was gone. It was covered up. Just like we put on the robe of righteousness, all our sins is covered. It is washed away. It's like they were never there. But when we get to our Father's house, we're going to have even more. We're not just going to have the robe of righteousness, saints of God. We're going to have it all. We're going to be just like the Father. Wherever the Father is, we can look forward to the transformation of from this body into a glorified body. Today, we see fault in one another. In that day, there would be no more fault to see. There would be perfect. We will all be perfect like Jesus. I'm looking for the wonderful getting up morning when I wake with his image, like his image, in his image. Although we were made in his image, but because of sin, things happen. But when we have that resurrection body, things gonna change. We're gonna have that glorified body. We're gonna be just like Jesus. So there won't be no faults. There won't be no pain, no, you know, no fear or nothing. Everything just gonna be a hallelujah time. So I don't know about you, saints of God, but I'm looking forward to that time, that moment, going back to the Father house. Also, things to come, we will enjoy his favor. We will enjoy his favor. The prodigal son returned home and was rewarded by the father with a ring of reconsideration. That ring signified that this outward boy had been fully restored in his place in the family. So we too have been restored by the blood of Jesus, by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We have been restored back to the Father, but we haven't seen the Father. We ain't there in heaven yet. We ain't at the Father house yet, you know, on it. But that's something in the future that we can see. That's something forthcoming. So we can, something we can be looking for. You know, a lot of people is scared of death because they are uncertain on what to come. But if you're living right, doing according to what the word, accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should have no fear. Because the word says they're going to be a glorious, it's going to be a mansion. So what is there to fear if we are living according to the word? If we accept him as our Lord and Savior and confess with our mouth that we are saved. And so if we are saved, we have that opportunity, just like everyone else, to go back to the Father house. So in other words, although he was in the wrong, but when he returned home, he was the one who was rewarded. So thanks to God, when we get home, the Father is going to reward us also. In Revelation 22 and 12, it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be." So in other words, we got a reward that's in the future, that is to come. We have an reward. So we just continue to do what the will of the Father is and not being obedient and everything. So it depends on your obedience, how big your reward. If you just said, well, I believe he is my Lord and Savior, and sit on a pew every Sunday, don't do nothing, don't go out, don't witness, don't do nothing, but just come, I come to church, I sit on a pew, I go home, I don't do nothing and everything. Yes, my crown might be a little larger than your crown, but you got to go out, you got a duty. We have a duty to do, thanks to God, so we have to do it in our rewards, you know, according to our works. So, yes, you'll make it in, but you just don't want just to make it in. You just don't say, well, I just want to make it in. You want to be able to say, I made it in with a purpose, with a reward. So, we see that is a favor of God. Our reward is coming. It's before us. It's a reward that we ourselves are looking, should be looking forward to. Now, he did all the dying. See, Jesus, he did all the dying. He did all the saving. He did all the keeping. He did all the work. He did everything and anything that was produced through us by his power. So in John 15 and 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branch.
He that abide in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So saints of God, we can do nothing without him. We can do nothing. But he works in and through us in getting the job done. So we have to be, like I said, we just can't just sit down and say, okay, I hear the word, but you got to be doers of the word. Amen. We have to be doers. So we have to get that, or we have to get that favor. So yet he tell us that when we get home, he will reward us. It's enough to make anybody shout hallelujah. He may reward us, but we will have the privilege of laying those reward at his nail-pierced feet. In Revelation 4:10-11 says, Revelation 4:10-11, it said, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and wished him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crown before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So not only we getting rewards, we have the privilege to, in the future, to lay them at the feet of Jesus. He gives to us, and we give right back to him. We have that privilege. You know, we will have that privilege and that joy to do that, to lay our reward back at his nail feet because of all that he have done for us. And so we can give the reward back to him. We turn the reward back to him. It will make a lot of things better when we get home. We will experience his freedom. We will experience his freedom. When the prodigal son returned home, he was given shoes for his feet. And that day, only the slave went barefooted. The father is telling his son, you are no servant, but you are a free man. In this life, we are told very clearly that we are the servants of God. In Romans 6:22, in Ephesians 6:6, we are his. We have been bought with a price, and he has the right to use us when, where, and how he pleases. When we get home, we will still serve, but like the prodigal son, we will be elevated to a new level of service. You see, we will be a body that can serve properly. We will have the mind that desire to serve properly. We will experience freedom from all the things that hinder our service from down here. We will be free to serve the Lord when we get home. Some things will just be blessed us. So we have things that will be left behind. We have things that are before us. And some things will be just there to bless us. There will be a feast. When the prodigal son returned home, he was presented with a great feast. The father killed the fattest calf and threw a great party because his son had returned home from a faraway country. May I remind you that when the bride of Christ get home, there will be a great celebration in heaven. In Revelation 19:7-9, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arranged in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous of saints. And he said unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saying of God. So in other words, thanks to God, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a feast. There's going to be a rejoice. There's going to be a glorious day when we get to heaven. The angels is going to rejoice. So, and the other saints, that it's going to rejoice. So we're going to rejoice together. There's going to be a feast that we all be able to rejoice. So I don't pretend to understand all the detail what is lies before us, the blessing that lie before us, but I do know that there will be a feast when we get home. Also, there will be a festivity. When the when the prodigal son returned home, in verse 24, says that they began to be merry. They had a shindig, they had a hoonanny, they had a blowout that night. I would like to remind you, thanks to God, that heaven will be a far cry from the any cookout or banquet that we could ever throw here on earth. In heaven, things are far better from that anything that we can even imagine or think. It would be much better, thanks to God. Aren't you glad that we don't have to be here much longer? Because God is soon to come. In fact, in heaven, there's shouting and praising of the Lord. In Luke 15 and 10, Revelation 4, 6 to 1, Revelation 5, 8 through 11, Revelation 5, 14, Revelation 7, 9 through 12, Revelation 11, 16, 15 through 16, and Revelation 19, verse 4 through 6. Our praise will be better when we get home. There will be some people who will shout who have never grunted an amen in church. They just sit there like a bump on the log and never said amen. But when they get to heaven, they will be able to shout hallelujah. I can't wait. Now, some of the things I've talked about, you would just have to wait until you get home to enjoy. But good old-fashioned praising the Lord is something that can be enjoyed right now. So, saints of God, in conclusion, when the prodigal's son got home, he found it was better. So will we. I praise God for what waits for the saints one day. However, somebody here probably aren't going to heaven. If you haven't never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will not be going home. You will be going to hell. He can change that right now if there's anyone here, if they come to him right now. So thanks to God, if there's anyone here that needs the prayer of salvation, let them come, because that's a wonderful day when we can all get to the Father's house.